going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour, we go Payne and Pendergast with you. NFL Draft tonight. You can hear it here. Yeah, you can hear it here right here on Sports Radio 610, man. Today, tomorrow, and Saturday. We've got the whole draft covered for you here on Texans Radio here on Sports Radio 610. Party tonight, right out in front of the George R. Brown Convention Center along the Avenida there, near Discovery Green. That'll be a lot of fun. A lot of Texan fans out there. New territory for Nick Caserio, at least as of right now, drafting in the late part of the first round. He's either not drafted in the first round at all, yeah, or drafted at the tippy top, with the exception of Kenyon Green at 15. But generally, near the top of the draft, this is a sweet spot that Nick Caserio has not drafted in yet.
You know, one thing that came up earlier in the week was a lot of people believe that when the Texans drafted Kenyon Green, they were reaching for Kenyon Green. And I think really what happened there was, in my opinion, was that the Texans had Kenyon Green rated a lot higher on their board than a lot of the mock drafts and what have you did. So it creates a perception that they're reaching. If Nick routinely did that, then I might believe more so that the Kenyon Green was a reach, but you got to remember they traded back and
two spots,
still,
yeah.
I feel like if they were really, and they were also at a spot in that year where they had needs at every single position group. It wasn't like when they drafted Kenyon Green, it was because offensive line was the only troublesome spot on that roster. So I do think that the Texans will draft for need, but ideally it's only if they can trade to a spot where they feel it's appropriate.
Yeah.
We'd love to get an offensive tackle or an offensive guard, but we're not going to do it, you know, 5, 6, 7 spots above where we think that this guy should go or where it makes sense to go.
My glitch with Kenyon Green was more when the night he got drafted was more about you need everything on this team.
Yeah.
And to me, if you're a team that needs everything, you need to be drafting a more impactful position at 15 than guard. You know, Kyle Hamilton's there. Safety, not a premium position, but a more impactful position. Defensive tackle, Jordan Davis. We can go back and look, and there's any number of other players that you could have taken. That was my thing. Like, I just feel I have zero issue with this version of the Texans drafting a guard in the first round with the 25th pick, or even moving up a few picks to get Tyler Booker, because you're pretty well stocked on defense. You're stacked. And on offense, you know, other than needing a wide receiver opposite Nico Collins right now, there aren't major needs on the offensive side of the ball other than offensive line. So if guard is the thing, if you feel like a guy's an elite guard, that was my thing, man. Like, we're taking a guard at 15? We need all kinds of stuff right now. Guard feels like very much, and no disrespect to any guards out there.
Well, no, and that's a classic where, hey, if he had turned into a really good pro, then, hey, it makes sense. You know what? It's not a reach if the guy's a really good pro, but it's the exact opposite of that.
The exact opposite happened. All right, so the one of the big cliches every year is that this draft really begins at pick number whatever, dot, dot, dot. And, you know, and typically that is stated, you know, the pick it begins at is the one where there starts to be some mystery as to who could go or what a team's going to do with a pick. I feel like, Seth, this draft begins at pick number 3. for me. And I know Abdul Carter is a heavy favorite to go to the Giants, minus 800. But I think Cam Ward is a, you know, unless he gets abducted by aliens, Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick in the draft. I feel strongly, even with all the smoke going around, that teams want to trade up to get Travis Hunter at 2. I don't think that's going to happen.
But it's also, but even if somebody does trade up, it almost still, in terms of which players are going,
it'll be Travis Hunter.
It's going to be Travis. It'll be a big surprise.
That's a good distinction. That's actually a good distinction, because that will be a holy bleep moment. But yes, I feel like it's 3. Like, Abdul Carter is minus 800 now to go there. And yet I still feel like, given the due diligence they've done on him, given the rumors that Joe Shane is basically living in Boulder these last couple weeks.
Yeah,
looking at Shadur. I mean, that there's,
and given the fact that it's Joe Shane,
and it might be the wrong thing to do.
Joe Shane will go. He'll fall in love with the quarterback. He fell in love with Daniel Jones to the point where he should have been fired 3 times already. And if he's decided to fall in love with Shadur Sanders, there's a good chance that I don't know. I could see him doing it.
I could see him doing it. He fell in love with Daniel Jones, but he didn't draft Daniel Jones. He inherited him, and that's been a big criticism of Joe Shane, is that he's not drafted a single quarterback anywhere in the draft since he got there.
Well, and that's where, but he also didn't draft the quarterback, and he let go of Saquon Barkley and did a whole lot of other stuff because he believed
Daniel
in
Daniel Jones. Yes,
I mean, I guess he believed in him, but then at the same time was saying we need to find out what we have in him.
Yep,
and then cut him a few months later.
He paid him though. Yeah. I mean, he paid him. I think your point's valid about him falling in love enough with Daniel Jones, who he didn't have to pay. Like, he could have said, "Look, this isn't my guy, John Mara. I want to go with my own guy." I think there is still a chance, even amidst all these pundits and experts that are saying Shadur Sanders might not even get drafted in the first round now, I still think there's a chance that he could go at 3. Because I think just some of the things we're hearing about how much due diligence they put in on Shadur Sanders, it's one thing to feed information to an agent and they put it out there to try to manipulate the draft. It's another thing to have your whole personnel department travel to Boulder for a private workout with Shadur Sanders to throw smoke about something, you know?
Well, or also, I mean, maybe they're thinking they'll trade back. Maybe they really want Shadur Sanders, but they see an opportunity to trade back.
That's true.
And I would say, for Shadur's sake, it's better for him, and he's already made several million dollars in NIL money. Financially, it might not be better to go number 3 overall, but I think for him, in terms of developing as a quarterback, sticking around until the Saints or the Steelers is a way better situation than going to the Giants right now.
I hadn't thought about that. You're scouting Shadur because maybe you trade back into the first round. That's what Daniel Jeremiah had them. Did he have them trading back in and drafting? He had the Giants trade back in
with the Seahawks to draft Shadur Sanders.
Was it Shadur or Dart?
It was Dart. It was Jackson Dart. Yeah, okay. Jackson Dart. But the Steelers ended up taking Shadur Sanders.
But the point remains that the Giants have the draft capital to do that. If they wanted to do it, draft Abdul Carter and then you know, move back in and draft Shadur Sanders. To me, though, it's just one of those things. Like, if you think this guy's your franchise quarterback, 3 might be a reach in the eyes of a lot of people, but then don't mess around with it. You know, the worst case is you remain bad and you go, you're drafting high again next year, you know?
The whole thing with Shadur is that I think that if it works for him as an NFL quarterback, you really capitalize on his accuracy. He shows, you know, by college kid standards, he shows a good ability to read coverages and everything like that. But he's physically not the kind of guy that can come in and, as a rookie or a second year player on a bad team, really elevate things physically or do it with his legs at times. It's going to be a better environment for him if he can have some semblance of timing and rhythm and everything else on a team. So if you're the Giants, it's not just that if they whiff, they might whiff really hard, but also Shadur won't even really have as many chances to show the positive sides of his game than if he goes to a different. What's the team in the top 10 that Shadur would have the best roster around him
and actually
be able to pull something off? To me, it's the Saints still.
I think it's probably the Saints.
For a team that might draft a quarterback. I don't think the Raiders are going to be drafting a quarterback this year. Pete Carroll wants to win right now. He's on a 3-year contract. He loves Geno Smith. They're not going to draft him.
What about the Jets? He signed Justin Fields to a 2-year deal. I don't think that that contract, 2 years, $40 million, does not scream you're the long-term answer for our team.
Yeah, and the Jets haven't, you know, I think partly because, didn't Deion throw a little shade at the Jets?
I think the Jets might have been the front office that had the guy who, that had one of the, that sounded, this was the tell that the Jets might have been the front office that had the guy in there that Deion, remember Deion said I had to go to the head coach of a team and tell him to tell this scouter, this assistant coach, he needed to settle down and squawk into people.
And then Deion went and talked about all the teams in the top 10 that he likes. And he omitted the Jets, I think, right?
That was a tell. He left out the Jets. The other tell was, I forget which Nugget Hussy it was, said a team in the top seven. And the Jets are picking seventh. And top seven is not a – you usually say top five, top 10, top
20. That's a way to say the Jets without saying the Jets.
The top seven. Yeah. Who says the team in the top seven said this? Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Let me ask.
What's your over under on Shadur and where he goes? What's your personal over under?
I think Steelers. Mine is, I don't think he gets. I think mine would be, the number is 21.5, and I would take the under. I don't think he gets out of the first round. I think these people saying he gets out of the first round. I think it's bull crap that he drops into the second round. I think it's people looking for clicks. I think the worst case for Shadur is in terms of where he falls. Because I think it could be best case in terms of his career. You know, like you just said, like he'd be better off getting picked 21st in Pittsburgh than getting picked third to the Giants long term. I think the worst case in terms of where he falls is there's going to be a team that jumps back in to the first round. I could see Cleveland getting real tempted to jump back in and pair Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter, and you at least get hope in Cleveland for the next several months, which is something they haven't felt since the day of the Deshaun Watson trade.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, so I think the worst case for him, Seth, is a bad team picking at the top of the second round moves back into the first and takes him.
I really, really, really want the Browns to trade back into the first round for Shadur Sanders just so we can see Kenny Pickett act all put out once again.
Yes.
That, I can't believe you would have me, me compete for a job. Oh,
if you were, oh God, I would love to see that too. If you were Joe Shane and you're trying to save your job, who would you take at three, Abdul Carter or Shadur Sanders?
If I'm trying to save my job,
you're just trying to make it to next season.
I don't know if he feels like his job is threatened. That old man Mara doesn't know what the hell's going on. That dopey.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he
feels like he might be the last person on the hot seat right now. I think Kasarian might get fired before Joe Shane.
Okay,
feels a little bit how like Matt Millen had a death grip on that job in Detroit.
Yeah,
forever.
He kept drafting receivers every year.
Yeah, I think, it would be, realistically, it should be Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
I think there's just more of a chance, like, the plus or minus on him, or the floor on him is just a lot higher.
Yeah, it's funny, because there's a notion out there that you draft a quarterback. If you want to try to keep your job, draft a quarterback, because then the owner has to give you at least a couple of years to build around that quarterback. You know,
right.
You know?
If you hit on the quarterback,
then you're gold.
This is the thing no fan base wants to hear, but I think a lot of GMs are thinking about this guy right now. Kirk Cousins is still in the mix. Like if he wants to save his job, it might be that you draft the best player available. Or an Ashton Gentry, or perhaps, you know, like whoever it might be, and then go out and get Kirk Cousins. Because at the very least, sure, you're not going to win any primetime games.
Yeah.
Sure, you're going to get blown out in the first round of the playoffs. But at the very least, he can give you a competent performance at quarterback.
I think there's teams looking at that. I don't think the Giants are one of them, only because they brought Russ in and they brought Jameis in.
I forgot about Russ.
Overarching point about Cousins, if we just took the Giants out of it, I think is incredibly valid. I think there are teams. I think there's a bet. Like there's a chance that Steelers are looking more heavily at bringing in Kirk Cousins right now than they are Aaron Rodgers, based on how Aaron Rodgers has been kind of handling his business this offseason. I have no doubt Cousins wants to play and start in the league next year. We don't even know if Aaron Rodgers loves football anymore. He himself told the story about Aaron Glenn in that meeting with the Jets, saying, "Do you want to play football? Do you love football?" And he was like, "Yeah, I guess so.
I'm interested."
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah. So I think there's a better chance if I'm the Steelers front office and you get to 21 and they get cold feet about Shadur. Maybe Shadur's just not their guy. Maybe we're all projecting Shadur to the Steelers and they have different feelings on him entirely. that they may be looking more at making a trade for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers answering that question that way, and him actually saying it that way, and he was trying to paint Aaron Glenn in a negative light in that moment.
Yep.
I was like, dude, you're a guy that just skipped the mandatory minicamp last year so you could go on vacation. You're 41 years old, and the brand new head coach is asking, do you still want to play football? Mm-hmm. And you basically said, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that's no way to go into a season as you're trying to establish a culture and everything else. The fact that Aaron Rodgers can't understand why Aaron Glenn might have been put out by that response.
That's right.
Is everything you need to know about where Aaron Rodgers is right now. Yeah. I mean, like, he's not 100% focused on football.
No.
And if you're a brand new head coach, you want guys on your team that are 100% focused on football.
Well, do you want your quarterback's answer to are you interested in playing or do you want to play football? Do you want your quarterback's answer to be, yeah, I'm interested? You're quarterback, man. You're the quarterback of the team. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Have you all seen that Quincy Avery has a documentary on Hulu about him? I have.
I saw that.
Yeah. Have you seen the trailer at all?
I just saw the title, and I felt like it was a pretty ambitious title.
Yeah. I forget what it is. You're looking it up. I can tell.
Yeah.
I have not. I will watch that. It just dropped yesterday.
The Quincy Avery effect.
Yeah, dude, if you have an effect named after you, that's either really good or really bad.
Yeah, that's
I think this one's really good. I think it's just portrayed as really good. You know what's funny about the promotion for that documentary? Nowhere, because I got the press release about it a few weeks ago. They sent the YouTube of the trailer. Nowhere in the press release, nowhere in the YouTube trailer for this. Keep in mind, they mentioned several of Quincy Avery's pupils in this. Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud is mentioned.
Jordan Love
is mentioned in there. Zero mention of the one guy who I think most people associate most closely with Quincy Avery, and that's Deshaun Watson. Zero mention of what 3 years ago was his prize pupil, Deshaun Watson. None.
Which
anywhere.
I feel like should be, if you're really trying to get people to watch it, that's, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. Put that out there.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, so I wonder, how many, is it one episode?
It's just one document. Okay. I think it's like an hour and something. It's not long.
Okay.
It's not a long
one. Oh, I'll watch that then. It'll be interesting, though. I'll be disappointed if it doesn't even discuss Deshaun Watson or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see. I don't know. Quincy Avery blocked me on Twitter, so I don't.
He did?
Yes. Yeah, he blocked
me. Oh, I guess I knew that.
Yeah. He blocked. I don't know what I said. I mean, I was very critical of Deshaun, still am, on social media from when it warrants it, you know. So he probably saw that. He was following me and probably said, I don't need this negativity in my life. And I don't have a big problem with that. Block me.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. That's a whole. I know that sometimes radio hosts or people in the media would be upset when they find out that somebody has blocked them. And they'll say things like, there's two levels to it. One is they'll say things like, I don't know why you would do that. Well, meanwhile, like, it's a guy that you might not have ever trashed that specific player, but you've probably trashed his friends and teammates at some point.
Yeah.
But then the other one will, then some guys are still incredulous because they'll be like, all I did was say that I didn't think that he had the personality to be a good NFL quarterback. Like, all right, well, that's. Like, I don't know. Do you really fault a guy for blocking you for that?
Well, that's the thing.
It's not like the guy's putting a whole lot of thought into it or anything. It's like, oh, no, I don't want this guy in my life.
No, man. Like, sometimes it's what gets said. Sometimes it's the day that you read it. You're just having a different kind of day. You have better days than others. I totally get that. Like, I get a lot of tweets where I'm like, I just don't. Now I use mute. I don't use block. Because you lose him as a follower. You know, those metrics matter.
I don't like mute because Twitter still shows that little window like, this is a person you've muted. I'm like, all right, yeah. That's like telling somebody, hey, they're talking about you behind that curtain.
Yeah, that's true.
If all you have to do is put your ear up to the curtain and you can hear exactly what they're saying.
How often do you unmute that box to see who it is that got muted on Twitter?
Pretty regularly.
I do,
that's
too.
Why I'm, and 90%. I'm pretty much all or nothing. The only time I mute people is if it's people that, like, I need to go to for some things. Like, they're not people that are necessarily followers of mine, but they're people that just annoy me on social media.
Yeah.
But they do have good content at times.
Yeah.
I'm all or nothing. I either block you or I just let you be.
See, I mute a lot. But if I see that somebody who I muted is involved in a string of tweets that I'm part of, I will unmute it to see who it is. And 95% of the time, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I muted that guy. You know?
I don't find myself really that much worried. It's amazing. As long as you don't put a lot of venomous stuff out, you don't see nearly as much venomous stuff coming back.
That's true.
It's amazing the way that life has worked.
That part of the algorithm is good. Yeah. Can Nick Caserio keep a reprised Texans tradition going? We will tell you what that is. Tonight will be the night. It'll be the referendum on it. That's coming up next.